When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
You're listening to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, covering all things Manchester United. Match previews, reports, reviews, youth roundups, loan roundups, and your questions. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, Series 2, Episode 15, is now. It's getting to become frustrating at how often we are frustrated. A wonderful 4-1 victory over West Ham in the EFL Cup, no matter how important it is, sees us in the semi-finals of that competition against Hull City in January. And then a few days and a clumsy Fellaini challenge later, it's all doom and gloom again, as we get a fourth consecutive league draw and a fifth draw in our last 7 league games, I think it is now. Jack, we better get the thesaurus out. We've used frustrated so many times recently, too many times. So much so that we could almost play the same episode every week and people would hardly notice. The same things keep popping up so much. What other adjective can you come up with to describe another week which seems to be exactly the same as the other ones?
Good question. You should have asked me this before we started. I could have prepared a little bit. I honestly can't think of a better word to describe it than just so frustrating every single week. Infuriating. There we go. I'll go with infuriating. It's just ridiculous that every single week we seem to be saying exactly the same thing about exactly the same players, exactly the same team. I mean, it's just getting to the point now where it's becoming a bit of a joke, to be honest. Because every week we seem to play quite well. We look to be on course for a nice win. Or perhaps, you know, it's one of those games like Burnley or Stoke where we dominate the entire game and we just can't put the ball in the net. And against Everton, we actually didn't play that well, I didn't think. Especially compared to our recent performances and the other games that we've been talking about, frustrating results. I don't think we did play as well as we have been. But it looked like we're going to grind out a result, which is exactly what Manchester United teams of the past used to do so well. You're not playing well, you get the result, you get the 3 points, and you get out of there as quick as you can. And it looked like we were about to do that as well against Everton. And the challenge from Fellaini was just incredibly stupid. I don't know what he was thinking. And I thought it was quite telling what Leon Osman said after the game, that he knew Fellaini was going to do something like that. Having played with him for so long, he knew exactly the type of player he is. And we've defended Fellaini in parts, especially at the start of this season. But what he did on Sunday was unforgivable, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the first sort of real Fellaini-esque, Fellaini sort of action that we've seen probably this season, to be honest. And he was playing quite well. And it's a shame that he's now done something that is so Marouane Fellaini. So classic of him, and he's certainly lost a lot of backers he had from the United fans that were beginning to emerge, us included, and he's probably partially lost the faith if not the backing of Jose Mourinho, who knows he's not the man to look to anymore. And that's a thing. We all knew that he wasn't the man to look to. It happens again and again. And it's not just the fact that we can't score that second goal when we're dominating. We don't capitalise on our domination. But it's not only that. It always shows in the final whistle when we show us to get that second. But also, on multiple occasions, we've brought on a defensive figure, if you like. Very Mourinho, fair enough. But it's been Fellaini. It's been Schneiderlin. The majority of times it's been those two. And they've been brought on to defend our lead. Has it ever worked? No. So if it fails, what its objective is to do, stop doing it. Because the only reason we do it is to defend our lead. And I can probably think of three times at least, and I'm probably forgetting a couple, where we've brought on a defensive figure and messed things up. And it happened last season under Van Gaal as well. I think I remember Schneiderlin coming on. We tried to defend our lead against Chelsea. We drew. And other occasions, I can't remember, less high-profile occasions. But it happened a lot in the last, in this season under Mourinho and in the last season under Van Gaal. And if something's broken, fix it. And if something's not working, don't use it anymore.
It seems strange that we keep trying to employ the same tactic every time we have a lead to defend. And like you said, it's just not working again and again. I think our problem when we try and defend leads at the moment is that instead of trying to kill the game off, and that doesn't necessarily mean trying to score every time we get the ball, but instead of trying to kill the game off, we just seem content to try and survive. And for me, the best way to try and see a game out is to keep the ball and just maintain control of the game. Because as long as you have the ball, the opposition have no chance of scoring. It's just very basic principles of trying to hold on to a lead. Trying to hold on to 1-0 lead doesn't mean that you have to retreat and stay inside your own penalty area for the last 10 minutes of the game. Because inevitably, it's going to end badly. It's exactly what happened. You mentioned the Chelsea game from last season. Exactly what happened there. The last 15 minutes, we were getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually, the inevitable happened. The same thing against Everton. The last 20 minutes of the game, Everton, you could see them getting stronger and stronger as the game progressed. And in the last 20 minutes, you knew that something was going to happen because De Gea was being called into action more. The defence was dropping deeper and deeper, inviting more and more pressure. And that is not the way to see out a game. The way to see out a game is to keep possession of the ball. You don't necessarily have to try it and go forward and create penetrating attacks when you have the ball, when you're trying to see out a game. And it's exactly the reason why we, under Van Gaal, we were actually better than we are at the moment under Mourinho, because Van Gaal's very boring style of play actually helped us see out games sometimes. It didn't always work, like against Chelsea last season, but at least we generally were trying to do the right thing, and we just don't seem to be doing that this season.
Yeah, it sums it up. It's a struggle because some United fans will say it's Fellaini's fault. Others will say, well, look, yeah, Fellaini can get the blame for that result, but is the fact that we couldn't win over 90 minutes the fault of giving away one foul in the penalty area? And sometimes it's true in football that it is, but against Everton, it wasn't. It was a pretty poor performance, as you said. And we had more than enough chances to take a win out of a poor performance.
I was going to say, if you want to blame one person, why not look at Ander Herrera? He missed the hit the bar or the post. I couldn't even tell which one it was. And the chance from about 3 yards out. And if he scores that goal, then that we win the game 2-0 up. 25 minutes to go, the game's over. I don't think looking to blame individual people is the way to go about it. Fellaini definitely was at fault for the penalty, but like you said, there were definitely bigger problems than simply giving away the penalty as to why we lost the game. Obviously, the penalty was a huge part of it, but we should have seen the game off before then. We shouldn't have even allowed Everton the opportunity to get in that position.
Yeah, the sort of main... it's frustrating, and then the way to sum up United, perhaps, is that lack of ruthlessness. That lack of the... It's not even the lack of the killer instinct, because the intent is there to get that second, third and fourth goal. And we've seen it being successful sometimes in the cup competitions. And we haven't recorded since West Ham. Had we recorded after that, we'd both be very happy. Three consecutive cup or Europa League games in which we scored four goals. Brilliant. But it's not the killer instinct. It's just the lack of ruthlessness, being able to finish it off. And It's hard because it's obviously it's frustrating, and you have to sort of say, well, this isn't good enough. But then last season we were saying, I'd rather we were losing or drawing playing the United way, and we are. And I'd rather we were showing signs of progress, and we are. And I'd rather our signings were showing that they were very good players, and they are as well. So we're not far off getting it right. I think there's progress in every game, despite the results. Certainly not progress in results, but I think in terms of performances, there's progress in almost every game. Perhaps Everton is an anomaly on that front. We're playing in what most people would say at most times is the United way. We're not really sure what that is, but I think Mourinho said this the other day, that he thinks he's installing somewhat of a DNA at United. And we didn't have that under Van Gaal. No one knew how we really were going to play, because sometimes we were brilliant in attack. You think the 4-2 against City. There were other times where we just ripped teams apart, including big teams. And then sometimes we'd have that drab, possession focused football, which was possession without, was just recycling possession without going for the attack. I think Mourinho's getting us in a DNA. Mkhitaryan is certainly making his case to be a start every week. Martial's got his confidence back. Zlatan has scored 12 this season, despite missing lots of chances. Rooney seems to be getting better. Everything is going better except the results. So it's hard to be frustrated. Obviously you are, but it's hard to really criticise fully the whole system.
Yeah, I think it's definitely easy. I'd say it's easy to be frustrated, but difficult to be annoyed, if that makes sense. I think we can be frustrated in some ways because the performances in general have actually been very good. I can't remember in the last month or so a performance where we've genuinely played badly. Everton was probably the worst we've played in quite a long time, and we didn't play great, but it certainly wasn't an awful performance. It just wasn't amazing. We did enough against Everton, I think, in the first 75-80 minutes, certainly to control the game and win it. And in the last month and a half, I'd say, since this run of draws began, we really have played well. Most of our performances have been very positive. Like you said, Mourinho seems to be installing the kind of style of play that a lot of United fans were crying out for last season. And yet, results just seem to not be going our way. I thought, I read a great interview with Michael Carrick on Sky Sports this week where he said that he feels like something is coming at United. He feels like there is some kind of style being put into place, some kind of DNA that is being implemented that will help United get back to where we should be. And I have to agree. I think the season's results have definitely not been positive as a whole. There have been some good moments, some good individual seasons so far, but definitely not the results we wanted. However, I think the performances definitely show a lot of positives. We've played a lot of the big teams again, and we have put in good performances bar the first half against City, I'd say. And we really are showing signs of progress. We just can't seem to get over the line. And I genuinely think if we could string together 2 or 3 wins, even if they were scrappy wins, I think it would be a huge boost to our season, because if we replicate the performances we've been putting in and put away our chances and learn how to finish teams off, which should, in theory, be a lot easier than we're making it out to be, I truly believe then we could have a good season still.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's despite lots of poor results, there's quite a good basis at United at the moment, which is strange because us included were criticising the setup so much last season under Van Gaal. But looking at it now, there's quite a good foundation to build something on in terms of the players, the management, the style of football, how close we are to getting it right. So I think, although it sounds strange, I think your sort of phrase of easy to be frustrated, hard to be annoyed, it summed it up absolutely perfectly, to be honest. Because we are moving in the right direction. And we've had tough periods before, much tougher than this. It's just United fans like us, who were born halfway through the Ferg era, have been blessed with such huge riches. This isn't acceptable. But, and that's, we have to continue to think that. We have to say that this isn't acceptable. We can't accept results like this, and we can't accept not getting top four. But I think that it is also important to maintain context, if you like, and realise that we've just come out of two managers who had difficult spells. Our current manager has just come out of a difficult spell. Our squad has come out of a difficult spell. Our squad needed rebuilding. We're still... it's strange to say it, but United are still in shock at Sir Alex Ferguson retiring. And I think a moment like that sort of rocks the foundations of the football club for probably 4, 5, 6 years after it happened. And it happened after Matt Busby left the club. Liverpool wasn't exactly the same. They had a spell of managers who were all very successful, but it was the same sort of period of time of 20, 30 years. I think it will take time, but I'm happy with the direction we're moving in. It's just, if we do get 2 or 3 wins in a row in the league, that is not just in the cup, then we're likely to be through into the Europa League knockout stages. We're in the League Cup semi-final. We've got Reading in the third round of the FA Cup at home. We should win that. A good cup run in the League Cup already. A good cup run in the FA Cup would do very nicely, as last season we're FA Cup champions, if you've forgotten. And the Europa League run would do very nicely. And it's just realising that the foundations for something good are there this season, even if it's been a sometimes difficult watch at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think it's important actually to just quickly focus on that Europa League as well, because with the way our league results are going at the moment, there may come a time in the season where we have to begin prioritising the Europa League over the Premier League if we want to try and get back into the Champions League next season. Because obviously now the Europa League winner ends up in the Champions League. You think, like as you said, we will now make the Europa League knockout stages. And if we're still languishing down in kind of sixth and seventh come January, February time, which hopefully we won't, but if we are, it may become time to actually begin thinking, well, the Europa League might actually be our best shot at getting back into the Champions League for next season. And at the end of the day, that is the most important thing for me right now. And so I think that there will come a time where we'll probably have to have a big think about what our priorities for the season are. But I agree, it's not all doom and gloom. There is definitely some doom and gloom with the results, because obviously football at the end of the day is a results motivated business, but the performances are positive. There are definitely some positives to be taken out of the season, but the main positive we're all looking for hasn't materialised yet, and it is a problem. We need to figure out what is going on, get it fixed ASAP. But there is no reason why we can kill off games like we did against West Ham in midweek in the EFL Cup, and then we can't go and do it at Everton at the weekend, or we can't do it against Arsenal the week before, or however many times it's happened this season. It's just getting to the point now where it needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed quickly. Also, just in the interest of being transparent, I guess, with the Everton game, a lot of people, you know, saying we're unlucky conceding late goals and stuff, but Marcus Rojo 100% should have been sent off for what was an awful, awful challenge on Idrissa Gueye. And he is very lucky that Gueye didn't stay on the floor writhing around in pain. Because that challenge was horrendous and 100% should have been a red card.
Yeah, just laughter after he went in for that, and then the replay was even funnier. The whole awfulness of that challenge and how he thought that it was a good idea to go flying in 2-footed straight up. Very strange decision from the referee. Talking about strange decisions from the referee, Guardiola claimed it was odd that City got two players sent off, and said that the referee partially decided the game as they lost 3-1 to Chelsea, despite the two red cards coming in added time, which was odd. He also said that United will make the top four based on current form. In one word, yes or no? And maybe it's not one of those words.
No.
All right. Nice and succinct. I think no.
I wish I could say something different, but I think the performances are there. But if we're going to make if we're going to make top four, we cannot afford any more slip-ups between now and the new year, because we are beginning to slip too far behind. It's not, we can't anymore call this about a stuttering start anymore. We're now getting into the meat of the season, and we can't keep throwing away results that we have been in the last few weeks. If we want to have any chance of staying in contention for the top four, we need to go on a winning run, and we need to go on a winning run now.
Yep, that stretched to quite a few more than one word, but still. Anyway, another exciting week at under 18 level for Manchester United as they drew 2-2 in the Manchester derby on Saturday morning, the second derby of the season this year in the under 18 Premier League, which United are doing extremely well in at the moment. A hugely exciting team at the moment. Callum Gribbin gave United the lead late on in the first half. A great sort of shot as he cut inside on the edge of the penalty area. City responded through Brahim Diaz, and United scored what looked like a winner in the 85th minute. DJ Buffon heading home on the dive from a Joshua Bohui cross. But Phil Foden responded within just 2 minutes to bring it to 2-2, and it remained that way. City, though, remained top of the league with United second. This, the hardest challenge United will face this season. The two best teams in the country, both in their flow at the moment and both at the top of the under-18 Premier League, the Northern Division, that is. They joined together later in the season. Two immensely talented teams. At under 23 level, United don't play until Friday as they travel to Aldershot Town to play Chelsea. 7:05 kickoff. I assume that will be on MUTV if you fancy watching. Europe's most popular under 15 competition was held at the weekend with United failing to make the last eight. Taking a squad of 10 for this five-a-side tournament, you can check at Academy Man United. That's UTD for the full squad. United progressed from the first group stages in the MTU Halland Cup before finishing bottom in the second group stages, playing against teams like Schalke, two Barcelona sides, Ajax, and other big name teams like that. A good experience nevertheless, even if they didn't make the final stages. In loan news, Andreas Pereira had a fantastic weekend. His Granada side won for the first time in La Liga this season, Pereira scoring the opening goal against Sevilla. They hadn't won a league game since April, I think, which was coincidentally against Sevilla as well. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson wasn't involved again for Wolves and hasn't been since Paul Lambert took charge at Molineux. Hopefully he'll return in January. Adnan Januzaj was only on the substitutes bench for Sunderland. David Moyes, Sunderland manager now, thank God, said about Januzaj after the game that the Belgian forward must do more to impress both him and United, his parent club. But Moyes did say he has faith, having watched him perform well and score in the under-23s last week. Joel Castro-Pereira played his fifth game of the season for Portuguese Liga side Belenenses in a 1-1 draw against Estoril. Jack, another busy week. It never seems to stop, this. Another two-game week. Probably a good thing that we're still in these competitions, but does mean we have a lot to fit into one episode. Let's quickly bounce through Zorya Luhansk on Thursday and then Spurs after. Zorya on Thursday, 6 o'clock kickoff. Always a strange one. Getting back from school or work and watching that straight away. Particularly bad if you lose. Lots of time to mull it over in the evening. For United away fans, though, I think it's a £5 ticket at Zorya in Ukraine. Incredible, since we were charged £72 at FC Midtjylland away last year. What are you predicting for this one?
I think we will win the game. It's definitely a game that we should be winning. Our Europa League form hasn't, recent games hasn't been too bad. So I think we will come out with a win. I expect a much rotated side against Zorya. But also we do need to try and make sure that we finish top of the group if possible. I think we'll be relying on a final to drop points for that to happen. But it would mean that we avoid some of the better teams coming down from the Champions League into the Europa League when it gets to the knockout stages. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win.
3-1? I said 2-1. Easy side, but, well, we only beat them 1-0 at home, but that was a bad game. Easy side, but away in Ukraine sort of takes it up a notch. And the fact that we need to draw or win adds a little bit of pressure. Really, we should be winning this like 3-4-0, or 3-4-1 at least. So 3-1 would be nice from your prediction. Not too much to say about that. I can't reveal any pearls of wisdom on Zorya Luhansk, I'm afraid. Spurs on Sunday, 2:15 kick. This is a really important one. Our first, so Everton is always a tough challenge, particularly at Goodison Park. But our first real one of the big teams and one of our main top four rivals, if we're still in the race for top four, and we're playing them at home. It's obviously going to be tough. Spurs sort of occasionally resembled the team of last season who thought we're going to be the ones to stop Leicester City from winning the league. And then came third, but did play some lovely football, and were very successful at playing that football. But then other times they've looked like Spurs of two or three seasons ago, which were much poorer sides. Which one do you think will turn up on Sunday, and what will that make the result be?
Yeah, Spurs are a bit of a strange entity this season, really. They've played some good stuff, but then I think was it an 8-game winless run they went on at some point as well? Because they were just like us, they kept losing so much. Drawing so much. I think predictably, I think this game might actually end up a draw. Surprise, surprise at the moment. But I think Spurs will definitely cause us problems, especially in midfield. Moussa Dembélé is an absolutely brilliant runner with the ball, and I think he will definitely cause us problems. Pogba defensively isn't the strongest, and the prospect of Michael Carrick trying to keep up with Moussa Dembélé when he's at full pelt is not something that makes me entirely comfortable, if I'm honest. I think we'll get something from the game. I'm not sure if we'll have enough to win, but I do think Spurs this season are not the same force they were last season. So I think chances will definitely come. It's just a case of whether we can win that midfield battle and get a real foothold in the game.
Yeah, again my head says draw, but I've put down here 2-1. Out of the big side, Spurs at home is a relatively easy game and one we should be winning, particularly this Spurs side who aren't flying. A draw does seem the most likely result. Now, would that make it 5 consecutive league home draws? Anyway, it's going to be a tough match, and it should be quite a good one, actually. And I'm going to that, so I'm hoping Rooney scores against Zorya Luhansk on Thursday and then again against Spurs. But I feel that might be slightly too optimistic. So maybe I'll have to settle for just against Spurs, and then because he's one off equaling Sir Bobby Charlton's record. So a big moment in Manchester United history coming up in the next few weeks. No doubt he'll probably score in a loss, which would sort of sum up the latter half of his Manchester United career, as he sort of occasionally carried us over the line in some seasons. Less so last season, though, of course. We haven't got any questions this week. You need to start sending some of those in if you're listening. So I guess that's all we have time for, unless you have anything else, Jack.
I do not. Just hoping that we can actually talk about 2 wins in a week for the first time in months when we do this episode next week.
Yeah. Series 2, episode 15 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. As I said, this busy period never seems to end. Another 2 games this week. First up, Zorya on Thursday, 6 o'clock kickoff, and then Spurs on Sunday, while the under-23s travel to Aldershot on Friday to face Chelsea, and we play Southampton in the FA Youth Cup on Monday. Next Monday, that is, December the 12th, I believe. There'll be 2 great games, so either get down to see them or watch on METV if you can. If you want to hear more from us, find us on Twitter at UTD Weekly Pod. That's P-O-D. You can find Jack at
UTD Tate, T-A-I-T.
And you can find me at Harry Robinson 64 on Twitter. We'll see you next week, most likely with much of the same conversation. You know, that frustrating word again. Goodbye.
Network. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.